All right. Here we go on a Sunday morning. Good morning to you. Just after 8, I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here live in the Fox Sports RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage Studio every Sunday morning on Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas. That's 98.9 FM and 1340 AM on your radio dial, flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights, and sister station of Raiders Nation Radio and ESPN Radio. The We include social media director, ride or die Raiders fan, and Out of Line producer, Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski.
Nobody beats the Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz.
Yeah, joining us in just a few moments from the comfort of his home is our Vegas Golden Knights guru, Eddie Rifkin, who also is the host of Hockey Nights in Vegas with Serena Taylor. They do a great job. It's the best damn Vegas Golden Knights podcast out there. We're also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live and Twitch. The page is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. You can also follow the show on Instagram and X at Out of Line Fox LV. And since we are live, your calls and questions are welcome. The Fox Sports RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage Studio Line, is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap, brought to you by title sponsor RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage. Whether you are purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage, is the company to turn to for all of your home financing needs. Call 702-964-5720 to get information on all of the home financing options currently available and up-to-the-minute interest rates right now in the state of Nevada. On tap, VGK lose another game in OT.
50-50 game, you know, both teams have good looks, you know, good ozone times, and obviously it's tough, you know, because I don't know how many losses, you got like 7 overtime losses, you know, so it's, you know, a couple extra points we're losing right now, but, you know, good still for the one, but, you know, it'll be nice to get it to both of them.
Tomas Hertl, after last night's overtime loss to the first place in the Pacific Division, Anaheim Ducks, off to the best start in 11 years for those guys. They're playing well, but don't count out the Vegas Golden Knights. Also on tap, we have UNLV basketball coming off of a real big win over St. Joseph's on Thursday night. They followed up their big win over Memphis on Tuesday night after taking two of the first three losses, two big wins. Josh Pastner after the game.
Number one is, I think the biggest challenge from taking over the job has been the two things that I have sitting in my chair. The two challenges has been one, because we have 13 new players. And so the challenge is trying to gel, so that's a challenge. One, but the second biggest challenge, we had a lot of injuries.
They do have a lot of injuries, but hey, they've won the last two games, and they've got two huge games coming up this week. I talked to Josh Pastner about that during the press conference, and you'll hear that in a little while. And speaking of UNLV, let's jump from football, I should say from basketball, over to football. Big win over Hawaii Friday night at Allegiant Stadium.
You know, it seems every week people come in and they're going to have a little, they do some different things maybe and tweak what they've shown against us. And you got to adapt to it. You got to adjust to it. You got to make adjustments during the game and on the sidelines. And I thought offensively we did that. And I think, you know, one of the great things that Anthony does is get us in the right play. Make a good decision. If there's a shot there to take the shot, he takes the shot. If he checks it down, he checks it down. You know, and if it all goes to freaking crap, right, he does his Anthony stuff, right? And which is his favorite thing in the world to do, correct?
Right.
You know, and so I give him a lot of credit because it is that. Like, you know, I don't want to ever take that part of the game away from him. But the great thing he's been able to do is he does that when we need it. You know, not when, hey, I can check it down here. I can take this throw here. I can make this read or this run here. I get the ball out now. He does those things. And then all of a sudden, when something special needs to happen, he does his Anthony stuff.
That's the reason why I came here. I came here to be developed as a quarterback. And I met him 2 years ago, and I told my roommate when I met him, I was like, I'm going to go play with Coach Mullen. And look at us now. But it's so crazy, though. At the end of the day, I just wanted to be a good quarterback. And I knew if I came here that he was going to develop me.
Boy, have they developed Anthony Calandria, one of the statistically best quarterbacks in the country, super high rating, and could he play anywhere? That's something we will be talking about during our segment, talking about UNLV football, and we'll be joined by Armani Lingo for that that thing with us with Las Vegas Sports Daily. He does a great job with that, and him and I had a little discussion in the elevator, and I decided to continue that over on the show. So you'll hear about that, and you'll hear the interview I did with Anthony Calandria after the game. It was pretty cool, and we'll stick with football and the theme, man. Freaking the Las Vegas Raiders. Wow. All I can tell you is after the game, Max Crosby wasn't happy at all, and things just aren't good enough for him. What does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that during the Raiders segment, but Max talked about it after the game.
It's going to be different, you know, as far as the culture. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of different coaches here. It's not funny, but I mean, you got to find some joy in it. I mean, so yeah, culture's going to change with different coaches and things of that nature, but I mean, ultimately, it's about winning. I'm trying to win. I know everybody in this locker room is trying to win. So whatever that is, you got to find that.
Hear a little bit more from Max during the Raiders segment today. We talk about the bones. But, yeah, Raiders game against Cleveland today, 2-8 teams. Is going to be interesting. Well, I guess Shedeur Sanders getting his first start. But, again, we'll beat that subject up in just a little while when we continue the show and we get to the bone segment. Listen, that is what's on tap. If you are looking to refinance your home or to purchase a new home, contact RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage today. You can call 702-964-5720 for details on current home financing options and up-to-the-minute interest rates. Great week in sports, especially for UNLV. Two big wins for their basketball team, another big win for the football team, still in the running for their third straight Mountain West Conference championship game. They need some help to get there. We'll break that down in just a little bit. But right now, we are going to jump into a team that is still, people, not in trouble. Matter of fact, they're barely out of first place in the Pacific Division. Of course, I'm talking about the Vegas Golden Knights, and we'll be joined by Eddie Rifkin right after we get through at the Open.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Well, this puck's been going on for 21 games now. It's been dropped, and the Vegas Golden Knights, for 1 second, were on the outside looking in. They're back on the inside looking out. Last night, they could have taken over first place in the Pacific Division. After the start in the first period they had, they were up 2 goals, and then that evaporated real quickly, but ended the first up 3-2, ended the second and the game at 3-3, and then went to overtime. And as they've done 7 of 8 times this year in overtime, they lost. And one of them, I think, was in a shootout, but they lost. And not anything to panic over. I think this team is really finding their legs. They've definitely found a young, budding superstar in Braden Bowman. And nothing to sneeze at what Akira Schmid's done. He's lost 1 game in regulation in all of his starts. That's pretty damn good. Joining us now, of course, our hockey guru and a guy that helps me out a great deal now with Nightcap is Eddie Rifkin, the host of Hockey Nights in Vegas with Serena Taylor. They do a great job. It's entertaining. It's R-rated plus, but it's definitely worth a listen any chance they're on. Eddie, 21 games in, 10-4-7, 21 points, tied for second in the Pacific Division. I'm not unhappy, and believe it or not, I'm not really concerned.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me. This is the toughest one ever. I'm the combination of not unhappy and unhappy. And I know that sounds like the ultimate waffle. I'm not unhappy because they basically have points in about 85 or 90% of the games that they've played. And that's good. I am unhappy about this overtime thing. I know it, this might be the rare time that I sort of sound more like a fan than you know, a level-headed journalist, broadcaster, thinker, but this is more than enough. If you look over the last 3 or 4 years, 7 points, the number of overtime losses that the Golden Knights have in their first 21 games, is well within the Mendoza line of the difference between winning the division and a wild card. And they are giving away points at an alarming rate. And the fact that they're not able to close the show and they're giving up leads that are ending up in overtime, and they're chasing games where they've got to fight back all the way to get to overtime. This is an inordinately large percentage of overtime games and an inordinately large amount of points given up in overtime for a team that's as good as they are, Brian.
Yeah, no, Eddie, I agree with you, but, you know, there's the positives, and I know you've got a lot of positives with them, too. The second fewest goals allowed going into last night's game on the road this season amongst all teams. They're road warriors. No doubt it is a concern. You've won one overtime game out of 8 chances. That's bothersome in 21 games. The fact that you're getting overtime, I guess, is a decent thing. But you are right. They've chased many times, and they're not closing the deal. What is going to make the difference, Eddie? What gets them over the hump? Because, you know, in overtime, it's one pass, it's one greasy goal that closes the deal, and they've been on the other side of that, obviously, more times than not to this point.
That is the $64,000 question for all of you who are old enough to remember game shows that they have to solve.
Yeah.
Am I going to get in trouble if I say brain fart?
No, not at all. You can say ass on the air.
Oh, okay. So it's just they seem to have a brain fart at the absolute worst time. And listen, I'm not going to go to last night's game. It was a mistake, right? The puck bounced. Akira Schmidt arguably could have been a little bit more prepared. But listen. Nobody feels worse than Mitch Marner, okay? Bottom line, nobody feels worse than Mitch Marner. And the locker room's not going to be down. They're going to pick him up. And if you know anything about NHL players and athletes in general, I would expect something pretty big from Mitch Marner tomorrow night in Utah because, you know, his pride's hurt a little bit. But to try to answer your question, I think it's just a little bit of consistency. They have showed much better since they won in St. Louis and they lost in overtime in Minnesota. They dominated a struggling Utah team. They seem to have cured the not getting out of the gate start. They had a great start last night against Anaheim. They did get it up. But you know what? Anaheim likes to play those run-and-gun games, and Vegas is okay with them too. I think they're playing better overall as a team, and that's the upside that they have to sort of keep leaning on. You know, the process, playing better, and eventually you'll get your rewards. I think that's probably true, Brian, but they do need to be a little bit more consistent, and they do need to close out games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Consistency has been an issue this year, not for all of the Vegas Golden Knights cumulatively as a team consistency. But when I hear the word consistency right now, one guy comes to mind, and his name's Braden Bowman. 4 goals and 1 assist in his first 6 NHL games, his first multi-point game last night. Eddie, what happens when everyone's healthy on this team? How do you send Braden Bowman back to Henderson?
Oh, that's ridiculous. You don't. You absolutely do not. Bruce has said since he arrived that if you want to be in the lineup, you have to play better than somebody in the lineup. You can't tell me that there are players currently in the lineup that he is not playing, you know, that are not playing worse than him. Let's not be a total lunatic about stuff.
Right.
He's not going to keep scoring at, you know, 4 in his first 5 NHL games. That isn't going to happen. But if you look at his play, if you look at Bruce Cassidy saying the moment is not too big for him, he's winning his board battles, he's responsible, defensively. The fact that he fits in with Jack and Barbie after a one-game experiment with Hurdle, the kid's earned his spot, and he's not going back to Henderson. I don't believe he's going back to Henderson. I think that we still have the great unknown when it comes to Mark Stone. We saw him after the last home game before they hit it off on this bizarro Utah-Anaheim-Utah trip. And he was coyly, and I use that term super loosely, walking with his hand in his pocket like a GQ model. Well, guess what? That tells us he's still a ways off.
Yeah.
Right? So Mr. Bowman is going to have an extended audition. And if the power play continues to put up a goal a game, and he continues to look like he's not a kid that was undrafted for 3 years and has a grand total of 5 NHL games, he's going to displace somebody in the lineup. And I don't mean necessarily waiving somebody and losing them to waivers, but there are going to be different guys who are going to get a chance to visit with you and I at the popcorn booth every night, because you cannot take the kid out who has been the straw that stirs the drink on the power play. It was 1-for-34 before he showed up. And now they're basically a goal a game between them and the second unit. So no, I disagree 100% with the premise that he's going back to Henderson.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I just don't think there's a way at this point you can send him down. He has found his home planted in front of the net. And you wonder now, I'm sure Vegas Golden Knights' upcoming opponents are aware of this. And there's going to be guys assigned to move him from the front of the net and not let this kid stand there, because obviously he's really good with the stick. And man, the recipient of some great distributors, Golden Knights, some of the best in the NHL distributors, and guys like Mitch Marner and Jack Eichel, and he's the recipient of them and their great play and their great talent. And this kid is talented. He has tremendous offensive prowess. He's fun to watch, and I think he's a good teammate. You can tell, you know, so far to this point anyways, he's quiet, he's humble, and he's just getting the job done. And you talk about Mark Stone, it's still a big loss. That wrist injury happened way back on October 23rd, over a month ago, and what's crazy is he's still tied for 6th on the Vegas Golden Knights in points. He hardly played any games. That shows you how valuable Mark Stone is to this team. And they will definitely be able to use him and could use him right now coming back. Obviously we've got to talk about goaltending. And Akira Schmidt, how can you complain about this guy? Just one regulation loss in 15 decisions. You know, he has been more than serviceable, Eddie. He has done his job. He came in to be the backup to Aiden Hill this year, and because of the injury to Aiden Hill, he's forced into the primary role. I think going into last night's game, it was his third straight start, 5th in the last 6 games. They're asking an awful lot of this kid, Eddie, and he's delivering.
You can't. You're exactly right. You can nitpick and, you know, talk about the untimely goal or the goal you wish that you had back. But you know what? Igor Shesterkin gives up the goal that he wishes he could give back too. Just ask Ben Hutton, who was the most surprised Golden Knight player in the history of the Golden Knights, when that snapshot from just inside the dot leaked through between his arm and his body. He has been more than serviceable. And Bruce had a little goalie competition for a while, back and forth between him and Mr. Lindblom. And clearly, with no disrespect at all to Carl Lindblom, he's not ready yet. He is more than serviceable. He has not cost the Golden Knights a game. He hasn't stole a game, as evidenced by the fact we're still searching for his first win. But the goaltending has been serviceable, I think, is exactly the right phrase. He's keeping them in every game that they play in, and he is allowing them the opportunity to win. And for a backup, for somebody who has already achieved his, he's tied his career high in wins at 9, 21 games into the season, with Aiden Hill not even skating. And I don't think that's news, but he's not skating yet. So he is, you know, when Elliot Friedman said, you know, they're talking about March, that seems pretty realistic. And he's going to get the net until somebody supplants him. And yes, you know, the 500-pound gorilla in the room is Carter Hart on his conditioning stint in Henderson. But we'll see. Carter Hart hasn't played an NHL game in 18, 19, 20 months.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
He looked okay in his first start in Henderson, but he only saw 14 shots. So for now, for the foreseeable future, it really is Akira Schmid's net. And we got no choice. We're riding with it.
Well, he's definitely under fire on a nightly basis, and you know, he's getting the job done to the best of his ability. I don't know. Is there a higher level for him? I don't know, but we're going to find out because, as you said, Eddie, he is going to be the primary netminder for the foreseeable future. Hart, I think, will eventually join this team, as you said last week. Will he eventually replace Schmid? I don't know. I really don't know this kid. It's going to be on him. It's going to be on him to win this job until Hill's ready or till Hart is ready and comes over to the Vegas Golden Knights. 4 games this week, and I didn't really get into the Mitch Marner thing because we don't have the time for it, but I agree with you. Forget about it. Mitch Marner, nobody feels worse than him. Yes, it was a Marc-Andre Fleury moment. Somebody in a group text yesterday alluded to that, and I'm like, you know, it's a good analogy. It was a Marc-Andre Fleury moment, except not nearly as big of a moment since that came in the conference finals, not in a regular season game. It was a brain fart, so to speak, by Mitch Marner, and it's something that happens to the best of them. And you know why I can say that? Because he is the best of them. Eddie, they've got games this week, 4 of them. They're at Minnesota, then they finally come back for 3. They'll play the Rangers on Tuesday. They'll play the Mammoth on Thursday, and next Saturday night, the Anaheim Ducks again, probably the most surprised team to this point in the league, although they've got a lot of young talent and a really good young goaltender as well over there. What are you expecting out of this week? I'm looking at this week, and I'm saying realistically, looking at their schedule and the way they need to play, I would say they need to get at least 6 points this week.
Well, hold on a second. I'm forgive me. I think I'm confused. They don't play Minnesota. They
hold on. Let me see what my schedule is. Maybe I messed that one up.
No, they go back to Utah. And then Ottawa comes to town.
You're right. I'm looking at last week's show log. My bad.
I was like, wait a second.
No. You are 100% right. I got last week's show log for the games this week. I didn't change it. But you're right. They play the Ducks. They play Utah on tomorrow night. Then Ottawa comes to town. Then the Canadiens. And then the Sharks next Saturday night. There is 4 games. I just had the wrong 4 games.
Holy mackerel. I know I slept in a little bit.
It's okay.
Just a tiny bit foggy before my first pop in the morning.
No, but it's totally me, brother. All I've done this week, I have had, yesterday was my first day of somewhat relaxation. I cooked the turkey and did laundry. Other than that, every day last week I had some event to go to. I think I had a total of about 20 hours of sleep in 5 days. Not enough.
Okay, so let's see. I expect a much more spirited game tomorrow with Utah. They kind of got embarrassed 4 nights ago. The Senators are playing pretty well. The Canadiens, even though they boat raced the Toronto Maple Leafs last night, they're still scuffling and having a lot of trouble keeping the puck out of the net. And when the Sharkies get to town Saturday night, you know, they're playing a lot better. They've got some really good kids. I would 6 would be great for sure. But I'm, as much as I'm concerned about points and certainly giving up points in overtime, I want to see them be consistently better than their opponent. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the team because this is the lineup they're going to be with for a while. I'm looking for this lineup slotted the way it's slotted to start playing better hockey up and down for longer stretches of the game and being the dominant club that they should be, especially against these four teams. So that's what I'm looking for the next week.
Yeah, for me, I say 6 points because they've got to have some success at the Fortress and T-Mobile Arena. Three of the four games there this week. I think they can squeak out 6 points. And last thing I'm going to mention in hockey before I let you preview your next podcast, our Detroit Red Wings in first place. Detroit Pistons, 12 straight wins. It's good to be a Detroit fan right now. And I think the Lions have a handleable game today against the Giants. So good to be a Detroit fan right now, Eddie.
Yeah, well, if they don't handle the New York Giants, there's going to be an uproar.
Don't count on the Lions. I'm going to talk about that on another show. They've got two games this week, today and the annual Thanksgiving Day game. I think they're both winnable games, but in my opinion, and again, this will be another show probably when we come back. We'll be off next week, but when we come back, we will talk about this. Don't bet on the Detroit Lions, and I'm going to tell you why. I've got a full breakdown on that later on, but that's not for today. Eddie, quickly, the upcoming podcast with you and Serena, what's next?
Well, I'm going to tease Serena mercilessly about being smitten with Braden Bowman. I did that in the last episode, but as funny as that sounds, Serena was really... She said during the preseason that he's the kid, he's the first call up, and she was absolutely right.
Great call.
We're gonna go dig deep. We're gonna dig deep, and she's brilliant. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast,
oh, she's fantastic.
You get serious, you get serious hockey from me, but she is absolutely brilliant. And we're gonna dig deeper into this overtime thing. I'm gonna tease her mercilessly about Braden Bowman. So if you like a little banter mixed in with your hockey, episode will come out on Tuesday night on YouTube, Hockey Nights in Vegas on Instagram, and any place you get your podcast.
I'll tell you, banter might be putting it mildly. There is it's serious Golden Knights discussion with a lot of very educated hockey talk along with comic relief with the two of them. You got to check it out. Great show. Eddie, as always, I appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, Brian. See you at the Fortress.
I'll see you at the Fortress this week, but plenty of opportunities. All right, we're going to jump right into this. Spence, you got to jump right into Fact This. I know Armani's on the phone. We're going to bring him in for both basketball and football since he's here. He's online with us. Go right ahead, Spencer. Jump into Fact This.
Fact This. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact This.
It is a fact. The St. Joseph University mascot, known as the Hawk, is one of the most famous mascots in college sports, and the student that is chosen as the Hawk gets a 4-year full-ride scholarship. You hear that for a mascot. This student that earns the job is interviewed for it and gets a scholarship, among other things, is required to flap his wings all game, every game, from beginning to end. Even during warm-up, Spencer's playing the video for you now. We watched this last game. I was told by Matt Neverett, the guy who does play-by-play, great job, does for both UNLV football and basketball, does a phenomenal job. His dad was a fantastic play-by-play guy as well. But Matt said that the mascot, and then I obviously did a little bit of due diligence afterwards, and it's the truth, has to flap his wings the entire game. And I watched him. I got a headache. I wish I wouldn't have been told, because I couldn't help keep watching him, and it was giving me a headache watching him do it the entire game. It was funny because Chris Wynn thought he had like a mechanical wings, that there was no way he could do that all game, but he was. And it's not just, I'm sure it's during football games, basketball games. Every time this guy shows up, he flaps from beginning to end. I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy. And during the game, I made a comment during that video, Spencer, saying I'd probably take the student loans out and pay the $30,000. I just don't think I could flap every single game. Although I imagine you'd have some nice guns for doing that all game long. And your shoulders, yeah, Spence, your shoulders would be in great shape too. Let's bring him in right now. Armani Ling, this guy, let me tell you, first of all, I want to real quickly prep this guy, and then I'll give him his just dessert with everything here. But Armani Lingo, I've seen him for a while now, a couple of years, UNLV student. student, knows his stuff, responsible, good-looking kid. Although he cut his hair, he probably should have kept his hair longer. But the truth of the matter is the guy's at every game. He works his ass off, and I expect really big things from the kid. He stays humble. He's modest. He loves what he does, and he gets rewarded for that. Now with Vegas Sports Daily doing a great job, you can find him at Link Sports 8, and that is LINGSPORTS. Armani, I'll welcome you to the show. First of all, did you know that about the St. Joe's mascot when you were watching the game the other night?
Well, Brian, first of all, good morning, and thank you for having me on the show. I'm super excited, and I am so glad that you mentioned all that. No, I had no idea. Me and my coworker, we were sitting up in the press box, and we just saw the hawk flapping his wings all game, and I even took a video of it. I'm like, this can't be real. He's not stopping.
Well, now he's got 30,000 reasons per season to flap his wings.
I mean, I don't know how tired his arms got to be after the game. Like, he's not just doing it, you know, during play of action. He's doing it during timeouts. And
warm-ups, during warm-ups. Like, it's like
during warm-ups,
When he is visible to the public, he has to be flapping his wings, from my understanding.
Wow, that is insane.
Isn't that insane?
And I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, I got a headache.
Because I was like, there's no way he's doing that just for fun.
No, I got a headache. I honestly did not even exaggerate it. I just kept watching him. Like, okay, he's going to stop. I'm going to catch him at some point taking a break. And every time you turn your head, he is just flapping away. I'm sure somebody must be monitoring that, because you think, God almighty, he's got to get tired at times. But, hey, for a scholarship, what would you do? Would you flap your wings all game, every game, football, basketball? A lot of people would. Maybe I would. Like I said, it would build up the shoulders and the guns. But real quickly, we're going to talk a little bit UNLV basketball, then we'll get into football and the reason I have you on the show. But you're at every basketball game, UNLV alumni, as is Spencer, so I'll have him chiming in on this as well. You know, after losing their first two games of the season, two of their first three games of the season, the first game of the regular season to UT Martin, and then to Montana, which I wasn't shocked at the Montana game. People don't give that school enough credit. They won the Big Sky last year. They're favored to do it again. Most of their players returned, which is very rare in college basketball at any level these days. So that wasn't a surprise. The surprise to me was after going 1-2 was to go on the road and beat Josh Pastner's old school Memphis by 14 points and then come home and beat the St. Joe's Hawks by 14 points. To me, two huge victories going into what they have. But you know what, Spencer? After the game, I asked Josh Pastner that question in the press conference. I asked him, like, how big is it, you know, to win those two games? I was a little bit surprised by his answer. Go ahead and play that. How big was it to win the two games prior to this, knowing that you've got two power conference teams right in front of you in a really big preseason tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't think about anything like that. Like, I look at us as like a power. I want us to be looked at as a power conference team. You know what I mean? We're still a work in progress. We still got to get better. We have a lot of work to do. I just think, you know, I love our group. I love our team. I think when we get healthy and we can get better and we can figure out our chemistry and our cohesiveness, I think we can be a really good basketball team. We're not there yet. We have still a long, long way to go. But that being said, you know, that we have great opportunities in front of us. And whether we're playing, the way I look at it in my mind, whether we're playing Lincoln or you're playing Duke or whomever else in between, everybody's good. I don't take any opponent for granted. We've got to play the right way. We've got to continue to get better. And I think anytime you play a game, it's an opportunity, no matter who the opponent is. And we just got to continue to get better, improve, and keep fighting the right way so we get ourselves to be the best we can as we enter the Mountain West play.
Now, I agree with that, Armani. As he enters Mountain West play, you want to be the best you can. I think there's definitely discrepancies through schools. When you mention a very small school and then Duke, that's ridiculous. But I disagree with the point that, number one, when he says he looks at them as a power conference, I didn't say power five, I just said power conference team. UNLV is not, nor is the Mountain West at this point in time. And, you know, yes, you strive to get there. Yes, you've got players that have played power five conference basketball on your team now, but that's a big step. But to me, winning those two games, going into this tournament, the men's era tournament, the basketball era tournament, whatever it's called, called over this week. You're playing Maryland, who I don't know a great deal about. I am learning more about them. And then you're playing an Alabama team that can run with just about anybody in the country. These are two big-time games that you needed this team having some confidence going into them, and winning those last two games gave them that confidence, Armani.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big thing that I have with UNLV basketball is that, well, they're still injured, right? And Pastor has mentioned Miles Che about 1,000 times in the post-game conference about how important he is to this UNLV basketball team, because he's their natural point guard, and right now they're without a natural point guard. So the injuries have really, I would say, not helped the UNLV basketball team with chemistry. And it's just been the first couple of games, right? When we were there, we were like, oh man, there's just no flow. There's no consistency. And they seemingly didn't have a natural three-point shooter like they had last year in Julian Richrain. Yep. But now they're starting to kind of figure it out a little bit. They got a couple games under them. They're starting to really create a lot of good chemistry with each other now. And I do think this is a lot better team that we saw at the first start of the season. So, like I said, and like you mentioned, they're playing two really good teams in Alabama and Maryland going into this tournament. So we'll see how they handle this test. But I'm a lot more excited, so to say, than I was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, me too. We're seeing some really, really good play. Guys that we see that have really good talent. The kid from Vegas, I mean, that played the other night, Tyron Jones, I mean, he is a high flyer. He is a true freshman. And this kid is going to have the ability to play at a lot of colleges. He's long, and he is just beginning to play. I mean, the kid's brand new, and I really like what I'm seeing there. I think getting Super Williamson back was pretty big, too, for them. Isaac Williamson saw the court. They've got some guard play. He can play the point. That is going to help them out. And, of course, I call him three names. But Dre Gibbs Lawhorn also is a pretty dynamic player. He can lead this team, and he also is very emotional. Both him and Jones, extremely emotional. And I think that is going to help them going forward. And what I like about Josh Pastner is he doesn't hold anything back. He gets his rah-rah in there. And the other thing I like about him, I didn't think I'd find anybody in Las Vegas that talks more than I do, but Josh Pastner definitely does. You know, when you ask him a question, get the recorder ready, you're going to get about a 3.5 to 4 minute answer. And but you know what? We don't mind that. We'll take more is always better than less. And Josh Pastner gives us that. Looking ahead, Armani, real quickly at these games, Maryland tomorrow night, followed back-to-back nights against Alabama. That's a tough road to haul for this team.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. I mean, just with, like I said, with the injuries that they have right now, with them trying to still find chemistry, I mean, this is two teams that have better recruiting, better players, and they've played longer with each other. So, you know, I've always said that UNLV has the roster and the people to upset possibly an Alabama or a Maryland team. They're long, lengthy. As you mentioned, Tyron Jones coming off one of his best games. But I think the main thing right now is that they're just too injured. They're too injured to really, get anything going. Like I said, they don't have a natural point guard to move the ball around, but I will say, after watching them beat Memphis, I was like, okay, if they can keep that up, and if Isaac Williamson, you know, get his 3-point shot going, I think they can easily beat one of these good teams.
I agree with you. Super John. Super John is a guy that's going to be called on, especially without Chi. We already know. The coach has talked about it plenty of time. You've got to have a floor general. This guy looks like he can be. And again, with the enthusiasm these guys play with, you know, you never know. I think they're going to be a better team than we all assumed after the small sample size of the first three games. Well, let's jump right over into football. As of course, as always, we're running a little bit low on time. UNLV, a big win against Hawaii, a team that we weren't sure what we were going to see, a team that was capable of beating and giving the number one team in the conference right now their only conference loss. Of course, that was San Diego State. They handled them pretty well, so we didn't know what we were going to see. And then right off the get-go, you get a bomb by Hawaii, and they go up 7-3, and you start wondering, oh no. And then UNLV just went on lockdown defensively, and super impressed with the play they did defensively. However, I was more impressed with a guy named Anthony Calandri, who impresses me more and more every time he takes the field. What a great pull this was for Coach Mullen, who pulled him really a couple of years ago when he did color analyst for a game at Virginia that Calandri was playing in. And he said, hey, if you ever coach again, I'll come play for you. And he wasn't kidding. And I think everyone in Las Vegas that follows UNLV football is happy that happened. And so are the UNLV Rebel football team. And Marcel, after the game in the press conference, talked about that and talked about Calandri, and they called him the magician.
I start referring to him as the magician, man. I just, whenever I'm on the sideline, I get a chance to watch him work, man. I'm just always in awe, always just going out there making plays no matter what goes on. He's just, like I said, he's the magician. I gotta start referring to him as the magician.
He's not the only one that had something to say. I asked Coach after the game about his quarterback. If you remember, at the beginning of the season, in the portal, he went out. He got Alex Orji from Michigan, who, along with everyone I was talking to, thought was going to be the starter at UNLV this year. I hadn't heard much about Calandri. Obviously, I follow the University of Michigan. I'm from Detroit, even though I went to State. But I didn't follow Calandri. I didn't know much about him. I know a lot more about him now. And I asked Coach about that after the game.
Coach, you start the season with two quarterbacks that come in. You come in, it's your first year. You got Alex Orji and Anthony Calandri. It turns out Calandri gets to start the first game. Orji gets hurt. And then the growth of this kid over the course of this season. What can you say from the beginning of the season to now, the growth of Anthony and what you've seen?
Well, I think the one thing, you know, that I saw it a couple of years ago when I watched him play, right, which was the special things he can do when he goes into his mode to make things happen. And, you know, the thing that excited me the most of what he's been able to do is take coaching and learn how to play quarterback. I think he'll tell you that probably, right? 2 years ago, it's like, hey, give me the ball. I'm just going to go play. I'll make it happen. And understanding that quarterback, your job's to manage every aspect of the game, to get us in the right place, make the right decisions, lead the offense under control, do that. And then when you need to make it happen, make it happen. And I think that was the part. And, you know, since the first day we started recruiting him and talking about that is I know you can do all the special things. You have unbelievable talent. How do we focus him to being a not just an unbelievable playmaker, but a great quarterback? And I think you see, early on in the, I told him this, I've never had a quarterback win an award or be a great player that doesn't complete 70% of his passes. Right? And I mean, I think the end of spring, what were you, like 49?
Yeah, about 30, I think 35. Yeah.
Because it was like just, hey, I'm going to run around and launch it down the field. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But, you know, if you want to be a great quarterback, you got to complete 70% of your passes. So great quarterbacks do. And his buy-in to that, the maturity that he's grown, the growth that he's shown has been fantastic.
It's been beyond fantastic. I don't think anyone expected what we see. This kid is multidimensional. He can make tight passes. He can throw on the run. And I changed his name. He's not a magician. He's the ultimate magician. He's Houdini. This guy, a couple of times he escaped the pocket. I don't know how he did it. He reverses his field as well as any quarterback I've seen. And before I bring Armani in, for the main reason I want him on the show, let's listen after the game. I got my third chance to talk to Calandri. I keep wanting to interview another player, guys, and how can I? He is the star of this team, game in and game out. And this was talking to Anthony after the game.
I'm talking to Anthony Calandri again. Like I just told him, I keep trying to interview a different UNLV player, but I don't get an opportunity. Anthony, the performances get better. It seems like the game keeps slowing down to the point that you're just seeing everything.
Yeah, no, I feel like a huge credit to Coach Dennis. During the week, he gives me so many pointers on what the defense is going to do. And at the end of the day, our offensive line played great tonight. The receivers made plays on the field, so that was big time.
You know, Hawaii's played a pretty good season, and it came out and looked like you guys were two different leagues. Obviously, it started with the big play for Hawaii, and then somehow everything just turned around on a dime. Defense showed up like I haven't seen them this year. Got to be proud as hell of them. Yeah. But this offense just keeps chugging along.
Yeah, no, for sure. Defense played their tails off tonight, and that's what we've been seeing in practice, and they showed that today in the game. But
as an offense, we played at a high level tonight. And I said it before, I'm going to say it again. The offensive line, man, they just been blocking their tails off. Running backs been running. And receivers just been making plays.
You know, it's humble of you, but for God's sakes, these plays, they called you magician there. I said in the press box, he's Houdini. I mean, earlier the ones, what are you seeing on the field? What is it that has slowed this game down and made this game so almost methodical to you?
I think the thing is, you have to win the Monday through Thursday. You got to prepare at a high level, knowing what the defense is going to do. And that's the biggest thing. You got to win the game Monday through Thursday. You don't just win it on Saturday. So I think my preparation, I prepare at a high level to go win on Saturday.
You got a big game coming up, Reno. It's the rival game, the Cannon. It's been here for a couple of years now. I know that means a lot to this team to keep it. You can definitely not look past that team. What do you expect and looking forward to next week?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. It's a really good football team, and it's going to be a good challenge for us, so I'm super juiced for that.
Lastly, you know, a chance to win another Mountain West championship. You're still in the running there. How much would that mean to you in your first season here with Coach Mullen to find a way to do that?
No, I feel like that was our goal from the beginning of the year, to win the Mountain West championship. And that's just 1 week at a time. So we got to go to Reno and just get a big time win.
Last thing I'm going to ask you, you know, I'm not going to put you on the spot about next season or what's going to happen. But we're getting asked that all the time in the media. Like, how could this kid stay? You have the ability to play anywhere in the country. You know it. I know you've developed a love for UNLV and the culture. They love you, man. They love you. But what about this school, man? Because this community's really embraced you now.
No, 1,000%. I love it here. I love living in Las Vegas. And at the end of the day, I came here because of Coach Mullen and Coach Dennis. Like, I bought in. And I honestly don't ever want to get coached in college by another quarterback coach than Coach Dennis. I'm so bonded with him, and I just love the way he coaches.
We appreciate you, man. Best of luck the rest of the year.
First of all, I want to thank Chris Wynn for recording the video for me yesterday. Chris helps out so much in this show, so many shows. He is the Where's Waldo of sports. You never know where you're going to see him or hear him, but somewhere almost every day he's there. Armadi, looking good, man. Appreciate you joining the show. And once again, we've got Armadi Lingo. He is with Vegas Sports Daily, Mike Dixon. You do such a great job with them, and appreciate you taking the time out this morning. We met on the elevator. We see each other all the time at several events. But on the elevator after the game, I made a statement that maybe Anthony Calandria will be wearing a red uniform next year, but it won't say UNLV. It would say Alabama. And you were adamantly opposed to that, like, whoa, 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 slow down. Chris, when we got out of the elevator, and as him and I were talking, he was agreeing with you a little bit until I pointed something out, and then I got home and really thought about it. I got to have Armadi on the show and point something out to you. First of all, quarterbacks, players in general, they go to junior colleges, they come out of high school, and they go to big-time programs. Are you going to tell me UNLV is not a seasoning ground better than a junior college or high school? And are you going to tell me is there a high school player in the country right now, a kid that's going to sign for a full-ride scholarship with Alabama, are you starting him in front of Anthony Calandria right now on this UNLV football team? Because I'm saying this kid could play anywhere in the country. He has absolutely been seasoned. He was at a big-time program at Virginia, could have stayed there. There is no way, granted, he's only 6 feet tall. That might be the one knock against him. But there has been 6 foot tall quarterbacks that have started at the University of Alabama in the past and schools like LSU, Auburn, Oklahoma. This kid, to me, has that kind of ability. And I'll tell you, Armadi, it's because of his football IQ is great, but really more than anything else, it is him being Houdini. This guy has escapability that will work at any level. He can throw the four passes you need to throw in college, drop in the bucket. He can throw on the run. And I don't know that there is a better improviser right now in college football. This guy literally has the best escapability I've seen at UNLV probably since Randall Cunningham.
No, yeah, look. So in that conversation in the elevator, at first I disagreed. I was like, well, look, an SEC defense is going to eat him up. He's too small. He can be a loose cannon at times. And sometimes he just can't take care of the ball. He's obviously done a way better job doing that under Dan Mullen. But then yesterday, I was watching the USC and Oregon game. And I'm looking at Jaden Maiava, former UNLV quarterback. And I'm like, man, look what Lincoln Riley did with Jaden Maiava. And I was just thinking, I was like, well, Anthony Calandria can do the same exact thing under any good, solid offensive head coach in college football, whether that's Alabama. I've always said, I think VT that just got James Franklin should have a look at Anthony Calandria. Yeah. Okay. That would be a solid fit, in my opinion. But no, at first, right, I was just like, no, there's no way. There's no way. He's too small. And like I said, can turn over the ball at times and can be a bit too aggressive, so to say. But then he's shown improvement. He's shown that he is a coachable player under Dan Mullen. His completion percentage, I'm looking at it right now, with UVA, it was at 61. Right now, with UNLV, and he still has a game in hand, it's at 67%.
Yeah. How about his passer rating? Have you looked at that?
Yeah, 124 at UVA, 153 right now at
That's
UNLV.
Crazy.
So he has shown that he is coachable, right? He can lower the turnovers. He can be a natural passer in the pocket, and he's done that really well under Dan Mullen. So my opinion has kind of changed. I'm like, okay, well, like I said, after watching what Lincoln Riley did with Jaden Maiava, our former UNLV quarterback, I think that a solid top end Big Ten SEC coach can definitely do that with Anthony Calandria.
Oh, there you go. I agree with that 100%. And it's not just Mullen. It's the ability of Corey Dennis, who is really a good quarterback Absolutely. Coach. He's the coordinator, offensive coordinator of this team. This guy, the passing game coordinator, I should say, this guy is going to move on. And it's funny because you could hear Calandria gave himself a way out. I didn't put him completely on the spot, but he said, you know, he would not play for anyone other than, you know, than Coach Mullen or Coach Corey Dennis. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Las Vegas, and don't hate me, don't start throwing stones, neither one of them are going to be here next year. Okay, it's not going to be, and a lot of people are going to disagree with that. They're going to say he'll do what Odom did. He doesn't need the 2 years Odom did. He's already coached at major colleges. He took a couple years off to be an analyst, and now he's coming back. This was a great stepping stone. He stepped, he stoned, and he's moving on. Trust me on that. I think he won't give an announcement until after a bowl game. He won't do what Odom did only because he's not going to be here for 2 years. He'll be here for one, and that will give Calandria his out to go, and I'll bet wherever Mullen goes, watch Anthony Calandria follow. That's my gut feeling. Listen, we really appreciate you joining the show this morning. I thought we'd argue about it, but you know what? I you're too smart. You sat and you did what I did. You watched more, and you're like, yeah, this kid's really good, and he probably could play anywhere with the right coaches. And there are a lot of great coaches around the country that can help this kid grow and move on. He is Armani Lingo. You can see him on Vegas Sports Daily. Puts articles on there, does great content. And once again, it's Lings Sports, or I should say Ling Sports 8 is where you can follow Armani. Appreciate you joining the show, my friend.
Ryan, thank you as always, man. I'll see you later at the Raiders game.
Yes, you will. You'll see me this afternoon. And Spencer, we're going to jump right into this now with you because we're almost out of time. We got to talk about the Raiders. We'll start off with the other clip of Max Crosby and what he had to say after the game. And let me tell you something. In the locker room, he was pissed.
We aren't good enough right now. You know what I mean? There's a lot of issues. You got to find ways to get better, find solutions instead of just doing the same thing and expecting a different result. You know, we gotta find ways to get better, and it takes everybody. You know, it's not pointing a finger at anyone. I point at myself first, you know what I mean? I look at myself to find ways to improve every day, and it's got to be everybody in the building. And,
all right. As you can hear, Max Crosby not happy at all. And you can't blame him. He took about 10 minutes to get dressed because he was hoping the media would go away. He didn't want to talk to anybody. And he finally did, and you heard him. He's just pissed. Max, go to Detroit. Brad Holmes, are you listening? Max Crosby would look really good on the other side of Aiden Hutchinson. I'm just saying, give the guy an out. Don't do to Max what the Lions did to Barry Sanders and Kelvin Johnson. Real quickly, this was a question to Geno Smith, who after the game, Geno said, you know, it's him, put it on him. But I said, okay. He said, you know, well, they've got to play better. They got to execute. So I asked him, you know, how are they going to do that?
He said, you know, it's on you. You need to execute. You need to do better. But what do you initially assess when you look at the game? What can you do better? What can the team do better to be able to execute, to be able to score in the red zone?
Make the plays when they need to be made. I mean, it's really all it comes down to. It's a tough game. It's the NFL, and there's great guys all over the field. But, you know, we know when we get to the red zone, we've got to think 7 points and not three. And our defense gave us the ball with a short field. We got to capitalize on that. You know, if we want to talk about playing complementary football, when those things happen, we got to score 7 points and reward the defense for doing a great job. But today, you know, early on we settled for some field goals, and then they scored some touchdowns, and the game kind of got out of hand. But I think if we score touchdowns in those situations, we may look at it different. So for us, you know, we just got to have that mindset and then obviously get it done.
Spencer, we're almost out of time. I'm just going to let you rate. You got two quarterbacks right now. Both of them, I don't think, are any good going head-to-head today. Who shines?
I don't know.
Shadur Sanders, you know, his dad's was prime time.
I'm rooting for the Browns because I want the Raiders to get Mendoza from Indiana. So I'm going to will it into existence that the Raiders find a way to lose this game.
They called his dad prime time. You know what Shadur Sanders is going to be called when his career's done? No time! And speaking of that, we're out of time. I want to thank everyone for joining the show. Eddie, and, of course, Armani, we're out. Bye-bye.
Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, KKGK Las Vegas.